Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, it's so good to be with you once again, and we've been on here, I think, about 36 years doing this and upholding the Word of God, and so we're so glad to be with you once again. And I was thinking of a scripture verse today to start it off. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can thank God every day that we win. Jesus won the victory over Satan at the cross, and it's just a matter of time till he will be ruling over this planet from Jerusalem, Israel. And as we mentioned last week, God is tremendously blessing America under this president. Incredibly, everything is going really fantastic here in this country. And it's just because we put our embassy, I think, in Jerusalem, because that will be the soon capital of the whole planet when the Creator, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes back. But we're fighting a battle. And I think of the opposition to the Lord that goes on, the hatred that is shown against Christians and so on. We just had a activity last night I was watching on television. Maybe, Al, you could say something about that.
You had mentioned something about I'm really not sure where you were asking about. I wasn't
about Roseanne Barr.
I'm sorry. Yeah, a lot of people have probably heard this already, that she made some rather crude remarks and she was fired from her television program and all of that. And yet on the left, and certainly in no way justifying anything that she said, and I'm not even a fan of hers, never watched the program, either the original or the second one, but you know, it's the remarks on the left. I'm thinking where Joy Behar on the View there, I don't even remember which network they're on, one of the alphabet networks there, epitomizing the leftist media that we have in this country. She was remarking about President Trump, and the comments were made that President Trump, as a believer, talks to God and hears from God. And she said, isn't that the definition of insanity? And she basically said that the vice president and all Christians, you know, born-again Christians who believe that God speaks to us through his word and who spend time in prayer speaking to God, she called us insane. And you know, nothing much was said about her.
Yeah, I mean, there's tens of millions of Christians that believe that God speaks through his words, the Bible, particularly the King James as we hold. You know, and she called them insane, but then that's okay. You know, and well, last night when I was watching them talk about Valerie Jarrett, I mean, Roseanne criticized Valerie Jarrett's one of their people, apparently, you know, and so, oh, they just went berserk and Roseanne got fired. But I was thinking at the same time they were showing about the trial of Jerry Falwell in Hustler Magazine, or the trial of Hustler Magazine, Jerry Falwell, and they had a cartoon in there in which, in this cartoon, it's showing Jerry Falwell having incest with his mother in an outhouse. But that is all a matter of freedom of speech. They couldn't see anything problem with that at all, and anybody that wanted to say anything against it or against freedom of speech. Now, can you imagine that? But then on the other side, at the same time, it goes back and forth, you know, between Valerie Jarrett getting criticized and Jerry Falwell being slandered. You know, I just think, and then it makes me think another thing, the Democratic Party right now and Christians that are members of it, this thing about Trump and collusion with Russia, there hasn't been one single bit of evidence that he has done that so far. I mean, and they have been investigating him. So there's a commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And that is a direct violation of the Ten Commandments. And if you back that part of that outfit, why, you're breaking the commandments. You're a party that is openly against Ten Commandments. I can understand why some of these federal judges are against the Ten Commandments being posted, because they're breaking them all the time. Who would want to look at something like that, you know?
You know, and you mentioned about the posting of the Ten Commandments. That just reminded me of something, because obviously, you know, they're afraid that a child walking by a copy of the Ten Commandments on the wall in the school is going to instantly turn him into a fundamentalist Bible-believing Christian, even though the guy who wrote them down, Moses, was Jewish. But beside all that, you know what the latest video game set to come out in June is, and it's highly anticipated? It's an active shooter video game where the gamer plays the role of a shooter going through the school, shooting up the school children, and he gets points on how many they kill and wound, and how long they can escape the SWAT teams that come in to try and stop them.
Isn't that
something? And yet that has no effect on the children. The idea that video games where they immerse themselves in these personas for hours on end has no effect, but the Ten Commandments will warp them for the rest of their life.
You know, we know, the thing people need to understand, because this program is worldwide and almost every country listens to it, but in America, we have more than Christianity here. We have what is called humanism, which is atheism, basically, and it says man is his own God, and man makes up the rules. And the Bible teaches that man is sinful and evil, so therefore, if you take man apart from the Word of God, he begins to disintegrate. And you find countries that have become atheistic in the past. The mass amount of murder that has taken place, for instance, in Nazi Germany or also in Soviet Russia, where the people were so oppressed that it was incredible, the impression that was made. And this is atheism. It's man sinking to his lowest level. But humanists, many people in America are humanists. And the fact is that when Trump got elected, there's many Christians involved with Trump now in that with our president and so on, and they can't stand that idea. So the way they operate is they slander. They operate through slander. And the fact is that the Clintons, they were getting money from other countries and putting it in their pocket. And, for instance, Bill was spoke in Moscow, paid him $1 million, and then Hillary gave them rights to our uranium. And so you don't hear about that in the media because the media is colluding with the Clintons and a part of that. And they never mention a word about that, but then they slander our president. But I just thank God things are going fantastically in America right now. I mean, it seems God has given them victory after victory, and I believe it's because he put our embassy in Israel and recognized, because that is the capital of the world. That's God's place, and Jesus will soon come back and rule from Jerusalem. And I am astounded at the amount of Christian work and gospel work that is going on from Jerusalem right now. My lands, I could never believe such a thing. But, I mean, the Word of God is going out from Jerusalem like almost never in history right now. So we just say the Lord is coming back, and he has the last say. And I think about that so many times. I saw a program where here in Germany you had Adolf Hitler and you had Stalin and all of these people, you know, and all the atheism and all the devilment, but yet I saw a crowd of people praising Jesus in Germany, you know. And then you hear in Russia where they had for 70 years communism, atheistic communism, where if you almost taught your child, you'd get sent to the gulag or to the prison. And then Solzhenitsyn, who led the revolution against the communist government there on Christmas, says, this Christmas we will celebrate the birth of the Savior. And I was just thinking about that. You know, Christ is going to win in the end. I mean, anybody who goes against him, the Bible says God's laughing at him right now. Why do the kings of the earth take counsel and the people take counsel against the Lord and against his Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us? Says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The very idea that they can do anything against the Father and against the Lord Jesus Christ, God laughs at them. So we ought to take the same position. It's laughable. We win, you know, and God overturns his enemies. But I want to talk today about the lordship of Jesus. And in the Bible, we find out that Jesus had died on the cross. And, you know, when he died, this is the great message of the salvation, the great message of the whole Bible. All the sacrifices they offer for thousands of years pointed to one thing, and that's what John the Baptist said when Jesus came, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus died on the cross, and he was punished for every sin that you ever committed or ever will commit. And the Bible then says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then it says that he is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So every Christian, their destination is meeting God without any record that they've ever sinned, and that they will meet him with exceeding, that is, a wonderful, fantastic joy, which will go, be with us for all ages. And God's plan is for us to be part of his great family. That's what Christianity is all about, getting family members to be with God forever as part of his forever family in wonderful joy in heaven. I think about it when my mother passed away and her body was here, but I was thinking, my, this is the greatest day of her life. She's rejoicing forever and ever, and in a real place where she's been more alive than she ever was. Jesus said, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." We just are like the caterpillar. The caterpillar crawls out of his cocoon and becomes a butterfly and flies away. We just crawl out of our old body and fly away, and we're better off than we can even imagine, the Bible says. So wonderful. But I want to talk today about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, in the first century, one of the things that they persecuted Christians for was every year in the Roman Empire, the people had to go to someplace in the Roman Empire and offer incense to the emperor and say, "Caesar is Lord." And then they would get a license that showed that they had stated this. And so they'd have identification, and on their identification, it would say that they have offered incense to Caesar and said he was Lord. And the Christian said, "No, we won't do that because Jesus is Lord." And in Christianity today, they don't talk about that too much, and we should, because the Bible talks about it a lot. Now, I want to give a number of incidents of people that call Jesus Lord. For instance, Jesus said he would die for our sins, and then he would bodily and physically rise from the dead. And you know the story of doubting Thomas. He said, "I won't believe until I see the marks of the nails in his hands and the place where the spear went in his side." And he wasn't there with the disciples, but Jesus showed up after he had risen from the dead many times after that for 40 days. And so one day, Thomas was there, and Jesus showed up. And Jesus looked at him. He says, "Put your hand in my side and look at the nails in my hands and the marks of the nails in my hands, and don't be doubting, but believing." And Thomas looked at him and he says, "My Lord and my God." He called Jesus Lord and God right there. And the Lordship deals with his deity, that he is Almighty God. Now, not only that, we find other instances of this. Now, all the apostles always, when they had called Jesus by name, they would just simply call him Lord. And they identified him as Lord, as being in authority. It represents authority. We see in another place, to make this point clear, when he says, talking to the lady, says that Sarah, showing her submission to Abraham, or obedience to Abraham, she called him Lord. It's an act of submission and obedience, just like in the Roman Empire. Then not only that, though, Judas, they argue whether Judas was saved or not, but they never notice the fact that Judas never is identified as calling Jesus Lord. Isn't that interesting? His God was, he was money, you know, and he was a thief, but he never called Jesus Lord. All the other apostles call him Lord, but Judas never did. Now we have the dying thief that was on the cross, and he was dying there, and two people were mocking him. And the one thief was mocking him, says, "If you're the Son of God, come down off the cross." Of course, if he had come down, then our sins would not have been paid for. But the other thief, he said, "Well, we deserve to be here." You see, when you come to Jesus, you got to realize that you deserve to die. You really deserve to die for your sins, that you're a sinner. God just said he came to seek and to save sinners, not people that are righteous or think they're righteous. None of us are righteous because nobody measures up. And then the other thief says, well, we deserve to be here. And then he says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I think sometimes if the devil would come to me and say, you're not really a Christian, I say, yes, but I have said to Jesus, Lord, save me. Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know how to, people don't know, if you believe Jesus died for your sins and was buried and rose from the dead, belief means then, how do you connect? In a prayer, you can connect and you'll say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my God. And that's how you connect with him, and that, and then he'll become your Savior. Now, the Bible says many times, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this to the centurion, I believe it was, that after he was beaten and there was a guards, he was the guard for Paul, and they had an earthquake and so on. And Paul had witnessed to him, and he says, what should I do to be saved? He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord, Lord is always mentioned first before Savior. Sometimes we talk about him being our Savior, which is the one that will guarantee that we make heaven, but we start by calling him our Lord first, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see this in a number of different cases. For instance, it says in one place, be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So later on in Acts chapter 10, they were baptized. And what were they baptized? In the name of the Lord. Because the name of the Father is the Lord. The name of the Son, Jesus, is the Lord. The name of the Holy Spirit is the Lord. So the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, they're all called the Lord. So they were baptized in the name of the Lord. See, the Bible harmonizes. Now, some translations, you know, to fit into somebody's theology, I mean, they change it to fit into different people's ideas. They'll say baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, that's not what the King James Bible, which is the apostolic text given to us by Christ and the apostles. And the King James, of course, is a translation of that text based on about 99% of the ancient manuscripts. It says baptized in the name of the Lord, because the name of the Lord is the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so Cornelius was baptized in the name of the Lord, see? Now, what's the meaning of this for us? Well, for us is, Jesus said one place, why do you call me Lord and do not the things that I say? See, so if he is our Lord, then he is our Lord through his words, what he said. See, Jesus in one place said, if he that heareth me, my words, and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Another place it says, they that gladly receive the word, they were baptized and added unto them. So you see that his lordship is given to us through his words. I had heard a fellow on television the other day, and I'm not against everybody, believe it or not, but this guy, he was saying on TV, you know, he's talking about people believe in their experience. Our experience, thank God, we had a heaven experience with the Lord. But the truth is not based on experience. More and more, religion is based on experience. People, well, I experienced this and I experienced that. No, our religion is to be based on the words of Jesus Christ. Why? He is called the Word of God. And some places it's talking about receiving Christ, but other places receiving the Word, because one, they're one and the same. When you receive Jesus Christ, you're receiving his words. You can't separate the two. And they're so important. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Now, some people say, well, it's receiving him by the priest turning the bread into the body, soul, and flesh and blood in Jesus. And that's taking that out of context. If you read what that passage says, Jesus explains it. He always explains passages and false teaching always comes from rejecting the explanation that God gives of a passage. He said, the flesh profiteth nothing. After he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. He was not talking of that literally, because right after that he says, the flesh profiteth nothing. And then, in case you missed it, he says, as I live off the Father, you live off me. In other words, he lives off the Father through the Spirit, not through going up to heaven and eating a piece out of his arm. It's not like that. But then he ends it all up with, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, accepting the words that his body was broken for us, his blood was shed for us, he bodily rose from the dead. And so, once again, now Paul went out to crucify and kill Christians and torture them. But on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus. And Paul, when he met Jesus, he recognized he was the risen Christ. And he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Now, what will thou have me to do explains Lord. In other words, you're the boss. What do you want me to do? And so, you know, you need to, if you're a Christian, you need to ask yourself, have you ever said to Jesus, you're my Lord, you have a right to tell me what to do, and then accept his authority through what you read in the Bible. The Bible is the authority. That's why we have this program. And God gave the Holy Spirit, who gave the words in the first place, and then in the gift of tongues, he translated those words for us. And the King James Bible is based on that, the translation of the words, apostolic words that were given to us. And it was translated mentioned in the book of Acts into about 13 different languages. And the history books say that in the early Christian church, they had translated the Bible into 500 different translations. I am not, and this program is not against translations of the Bible. God gave us translations in the beginning, but we're for the true text, that these translations are based on the text, received text or textus receptus, given to us by God in the Bible. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So when we get saved, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And you need to tell him that today. You want to connect with him you say, well, I believe in Christianity. Then say to Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my God, like Thomas did. And Jesus said, blessed are they that have seen and not believed. All the blessings of God come on you when you do that. That's the confession of Thomas. That's the confession that Jesus blessed. And you do that, God will bless you. Forgiveness of sins, part of God's forever family. And it doesn't matter what preachers say. Jesus said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I will never kick you out. You're part of the everlasting family. You know, no matter even what a child does, that's still, they got their parents' DNA in them. They got their parents' life in them. We have the life of God. And Jesus said, I've never lost a person that he's come to him. And you become part of God's family. But God puts his Holy Spirit in you, and you will get the power to live for God and live a holy life. And so today, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You, that is, you say to Jesus, I accept you as my Lord. Forgive my sins and save me. And some of you, you go to church and you may have gone forward and you may have said a prayer, but you need to make sure that you say to Jesus, you're my Lord. You have a right to tell me what to do. Forgive my sins and save me. And you can base it on the everlasting word of God, which is found in the King James Bible and in other translations around the world that are in line with the King James. And it is God's word that he has given to us. Well, we could praise God and thank him for this, because God's going to bless us. He'll bless us with joy, peace, help in our life.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.